have spoken with many people, maybe, and we often speak of the mind and we associate it with the mental mind, and we often feel that is in that area of the head. Then when we feel the hurt, we often feel that it's like in this area, in the heart chakra. I can see in meditation, we can actually expand our field of awareness, and then it becomes maybe here, and then we expand it to here, and then maybe we can expand it to the whole body or even more. So is there a different approach to it, or degrees, or depending where we are? Like, is it consciousness as well? There was the word consciousness we were chanting this morning for the...
That's the third of the three words that are often used to refer to the mind faculty as vijnana. So mano, citta and vijnana, and they all have different shades of meaning. And nama, the mental faculties. So there's a lot of overlap and there isn't 100% consistency. But if you find that the English word heart has unhelpful associations, use Greek or Spanish or French or a language of your choice, or just use the Pali, citta. Because the conditioning of the mind, when I was in the States, I was invited to give a talk or have a dialogue with a Hindu monk. One of the very earliest ashrams in the USA was in Northern California, a place called Alima, established in the 1920s or 30s. And we had an event with the people there, and they asked for a theme for the day, and I said, liberation of the heart. So we were supposed to both be speaking on this theme. And this Hindu monk saw the subject, and he thought the biological heart was what he read. I thought, this is a strange subject. Why are the Buddhists talking about them? Is the heartbeat somehow special to them? Because this languaging of it was a whole different set of conditioning because of the scriptures and the teachings that he had had. And so we had a little bit of a heads together. I said, no, that's not what we mean. That's another meaning to the word heart that we would use. So finding your own words is a helpful part of Dhamma practice. As I said, you know, perhaps use your own language or use Pali or whatever languaging helps to evoke or something that has those associations, say with citta, that quality of the mental world, the non-physical world that is liberatable, that can be liberated. And finding your own language. It's not fixed, you've got to use certain terms. Using and forming your own way of expressing that helps to lead towards that quality of ease and freedom and peacefulness. Does that make sense?
I think so. I will reflect on that. I think sometimes when I consider the mind as the heart, sometimes then I think the emotions are more involved into it.
Yeah, that covers the citta. It's all of the above. It's both the cognitive faculty, the thought processes, the emotions. And you think of the citta satipatthana and knowing and being mindful of the citta that has greed, without greed, with hatred, without hatred. It's the expanded mind, the contracted mind. So there is really no base. It's a commentarial gloss trying to pin it down. Where is the citta?
Yeah, where doesn't really apply.
Where doesn't apply.
So it's very expansive. Can be very...
Well, essentially, three-dimensional space only applies to Rupa Khanda. Physical space doesn't really apply to the world of mind at all. In essence, it's only... You can't say where my mind stops and yours begins, or my mind is here. There might be passing impressions or particular sensations.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Is there not this point of contact between the two, the sensation between the mind and the body?
Well, it's good to explore and to investigate that. One of those useful reflections I found in the practice is just a phrase like, where doesn't apply? Or to take a different angle, where is the mind? And then by asking that question, there can be that realization, the word where doesn't apply, location doesn't apply. We have a whole chapter on non-locality. Next chapter is the unconditioned and non-locality.